First, let me say that I was absent from the last meeting, but in this modern digital age, you're never absent from what's going on anymore. But I'd simply like to say that I saw this agenda, and then I saw an item on it was the Democratic Committee membership presentation of proposals regarding redistricting, and the thought occurred to me last week when I saw this that what began, I thought, as a gentleman's agreement between the two leaders in this chamber, at least two of the leaders in this chamber, on what I consider to be a very legitimate issue, has devolved into a game differently than what I had envisioned. I still believe that there is very serious need of judicial reform. I've been an advocate of some kind of modified merit selection system and judicial races for some time. The Bar Association, most of the legal groups in the state have talked about it. But serious judicial reform is something that takes more than just a few weeks. The important thing is if you're going to have it, you're going to have to build consensus. The courts are the places where businesses want certainty, where citizens want justice. And if you're going to have their belief in that system upheld, if you change it radically, there has to be a buy-in by all of the people involved in it, all of the stakeholders, citizens groups, and various others. We got ourselves into this system that we're in, this judicial system, which I got to say has at least at one point was hailed as one of the better ones in the country. Because of the consolidation of recorders' courts and municipal courts and all of those other things that still are present in some states, were rolled into one. But it's a process that took 10 years. And I got to say, I wasn't participating in it, of course, but I got to say that when you look back and you read the record of it, and we've heard several people comment on that in the very first meeting, then you know that it was something that had the heavy involvement of the business leadership, the legal community, the legislative leadership, judicial leadership from across the state. And so it was my belief, and I shared this with Senator Berger, that if we're ever going to get serious judicial reform and some kind of modified merit selection system, whatever that's going to be, you need to make sure that all of these folk are bought into it. And I still think that that can happen. But you can't do it when people aren't participating at the basement level, and they just see it when it gets to the third, fourth, or fifth floor. You got to have people involved. Initially, as we started looking at some of the speakers, and there have been several during the first two committee meetings, we threw them about, said, you know, this guy would bring a different perspective, or this person would bring a different one. It might surprise you, but the thought of having somebody from the Brennan Center, which is a nationally and internationally acclaimed center that studies judicial reform and issues of justice, is one that, as Senator Berger and I were talking, Jim Blaine suggested because he'd heard of it. I said, sure, bring somebody in from the Brennan Center. We can get somebody from the court system in Denver and various other places. But when I looked up and I saw that this debate has degenerated to these letters between committee members on, you know, you show me whether your button is bigger and yours is more powerful or whatever the deal might be. I realized that somewhere or other we were getting off track, and we simply were losing sight of an opportunity, of a real opportunity to once and for all get politics in its obvious way out of one of the most important aspects of our government, and that is the judicial branch. You won't ever totally remove it, but the substantial portion of it you could get out. And so a complex, monumental system as we have, one that, again, people have said is one of the better ones, that took so long to put together, can't totally be dismantled over a period of 4 or 5 weeks and 4 or 5 meetings without having that input from everybody. I shared with you, and I'll share with this full committee and everybody listening, in the district court, you know, maybe there's an argument that can be made if you come up with criteria as to why district court judges ought to be elected from a smaller electorate. since they don't represent people, it doesn't really matter. But maybe there is some argument if we're going to keep electing them the way that we do. But you need criteria to be laid out before the citizenry so they can decide whether you're following what you say the reasoning is for doing what you're doing. I know for a fact that I don't know the political affiliation of most of the district court judges in Wake County. I know that we got a good number of Republican judges in a county that in the last election was about 60% Democratic, because it's not that important to people what party the folk are. Some great judges. In fact, one of my favorite district court judges I understand now is a Republican. But that doesn't matter, because that's not what they look at when they decide cases. They look at what judges are supposed to look at. The when I see that the members who were at the last meeting request for people to participate, you know, the way that we would have done that is that just have a discussion with the leaders of both parties. This is why I think that this person could add something meaningful, or this is why another person could add it or less offset it, so that we got a balanced approach. But we get a letter, or they get a letter. I didn't get the letter because I wasn't a signatory on the original letter, saying, yeah, you can do that, which is what senators do, call witnesses, talk about things. But if you're going to do it, you got to make the governor do something. We make the governor do something by passing laws, and then he executes them. You can't make the governor send his judicial counsel. I don't know, maybe some of these folk got more power than I think they have. But you can't make him send his legislative counsel or his chief counsel to testify before a legislative committee unless you're going to subpoena him. Certainly these members can't do it. Or to say that you're going to not just talk about these broader issues, but even before we get to the point that you got to talk about maps, you got to have specific maps that you're going to present. That's not in the spirit of how we started this discussion, because I really do want our folk to be able to look seriously at judicial reform and how we can arrive at some alternative way of electing judges. So I think that we're going to engage in further in this activity later on today. But I think that it's basically probably degraded itself to the point that it's just a game, and it's not a serious effort to get the kind of reform that I think Senator Berger wanted initially. And that certainly I contemplated that we'd be able to put together if we seriously took the time, created a system to let everybody have their say, so that it is a corporate effort to create this judicial system in North Carolina. And I don't know when the opportunity will present itself again to do it, since we're going to let it go by and we're just going to redistrict based on politics, based on somewhere or other splitting up urban areas without some sensible criteria, 8 or 10 points that we're adhering to in trying to figure out how North Carolina ought to be redistricted. So there is no formal Democratic presentation at this meeting. The speakers who had been requested at the last one were canceled. And so we are here because, as I've indicated to you all along, all of us are supposed to participate, and we want to participate, but we want it to be meaningful participation. Not just a charade, and not just rubber stamping something. And so absent some assurance that that is going to happen, I think that we'll go through this exercise, but it'll be one in futility. And at the end of the day, you won't get the buy-in. So even if you redistrict the judiciary in the state, what you guarantee without that buy-in is the uncertainty in judicial elections, is the uncertainty in the judicial system. This one, with all of its flaws, has lasted for 60-some years, and I've shared with you that I thought districts were created that shouldn't have been created. They were created for political purposes, and if nothing else, this should have been an opportunity to undo those political decisions that were made after the creation of a system that was held up high. And not create new districts just for arbitrary reasons, but try to figure out how we make a 21st century judicial system respond to 21st century. The kinds that were identified, I think, by one of the district court judges, making sure that we align social services and juvenile services and all of these other things that are involved much more deeply in the judicial system now than they were 70 years ago when this one was created. And I'm hoping at some point, 60 years ago, I'm hoping at some point we'll get an opportunity to have those kind of discussions, have those kind of realignments in a way that makes sense.